Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good Friday morning, everyone. It's showtime. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Friday, February 26th. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. On today's show, the stimulus plan is dealt a major blow. This is the first major setback for President Biden and a big blow to progressives. So what will Democrats do now? We'll go into the details. What are their strategies? And how will this path forward move the ball for meaningful stimulus for the American people? President Biden continues the war machine this morning, launching his first attack on a foreign country. Hey, congrats, Joe. You didn't let us down. You didn't disappoint. You said nothing would change, and the American war machine continues to blow up small villages. Way to go. While the American people suffer and have to wait in food bank lines to get food, we spend millions bombing other people. Way to go, Joe. Bernie Sanders destroys Walmart over starvation wages. We'll take you to that hearing so you can see the fiery inquest by Senator Bernie Sanders. We're going to see more of that now that he's the Senate Budget Committee Chairman. If you want to support independent journalism and support our show, not bought and sold by the mainstream media, you can do so for free by subscribing to our free daily newsletter. Simply go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. It's very simple. When you go to the screen here, boom, put in your email address. You'll get a welcome email so that we confirm that you actually typed your email correctly. Please type it correctly. And it helps us to support and continue doing what we are doing. Grover, my trusty sidekick, he's now 1 year old. Can you believe it? My mini pincher, Grover, he says thank you. This was him helping me yesterday unpack. It was not much of a help. Not much of a help. Just standing there going through all of my papers and stuff. So, yes. So thank you so much for joining us. Let me know in the chat where you're joining us from on this rainy, cold Friday morning. We have a great community of fans here who join us together and get, you know, it's not about me. It's about the great community that we have here. So it's the only live interactive morning show where I will love to see what you have to say in the chats. So get in your super chats right now. So we'll take your questions towards the end of the show. Any super chats, any questions you have about the stimulus, the economy, politics, UFOs, I don't care, investing, anything, get them in now and we will read them at the end of the show. We're going to try to stay consistent with that, doing that at the end of every show. So get in your super chat questions now or any chat questions you have. And I say thank you. So first, let me tell you, before we get to all of the news, I want to tell you about our friends over at Chime. Now, I just opened a Chime account about a week ago because I was looking for a fantastic checking account plus a savings all in one that would be easy in this digital age to use and where I could actually get money back just for opening the account. So I get $75 just for opening the account and making a deposit, and you will too. Now, you actually get a physical card, but the beauty of Chime is that they don't have to deal with the brick and mortar like a Wells Fargo. So they don't have any overdraft fees. They don't charge you any of those additional fees just for using their account. There's no annual fee. There's none of that. It is really, and NerdWallet ranked it as the best checking account. So this is my new checking account. Go to morninginvest.com/chime to set it up. You'll get a $75 bonus just for signing up and making your deposit. And it's so easy to use right inside of your smartphone. And you get a physical card sent to you. It works with Apple Pay. Really great. So that is my new personal bank account and I'm happy to share it with you guys. Overdraft fees are gone. Thanks to Chime for supporting the show. All right, let's get to the news now. Let's start with your stimulus update this morning. Boy, here's how Politico summed up the night last night. This is not good for Democrats. Politico, progressives suffer their first big blow of the Biden presidency. Look at that jaw on Joe. Yep, the $15 minimum wage is done for now. Done. So what is next? And why did this happen? I'm actually pretty stunned that it happened. The Senate parliamentarian ruled Thursday night, Elizabeth McDonough, that the boost in the federal minimum wage violated the so-called Byrd rule. And basically that meant that it can't be included in the reconciliation process, that it has nothing really to do with the budget and therefore needs to be left out. It has to be tabled, cannot be included. So it's not going to be included in the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan when the chamber takes up the measure under the budget reconciliation rules process. Bernie Sanders, though, is looking for alternative paths forward. Try as you will, I guess. I don't know what you're going to do now, but he says the only way forward is through this reconciliation process. The only way we're going to pass a stimulus bill, I mean, that a minimum wage increase, is through the reconciliation process. So I don't know what the heck you're going to do, Bernie.
The only way that we are going to raise the minimum wage is through reconciliation or ending the filibuster. In my view, I do not see in the foreseeable future getting significant support from Republicans.
No, Republicans are not going to support you. Not at all. Zero, likely. So is ending the filibuster the way forward? I got to say, I think that that's going to be the path of action here. I mean, let me know in the chat what you think. But should Democrats end the filibuster, which is a tired old process where someone can get up on the, you know, on the Senate floor and read a phone book or a children's book nonstop and hold up the entire process. Therefore, the vote never takes place. It's such an ridiculous, arcane rule. I mean, it goes back to Strom Thurmond, who holds the record for the longest amount of time. Basically fighting against desegregation in the United States. Like, that's how we've used filibuster in the past. To stop us from getting meaningful things done in the United States.
Well, I wonder what the difference, they see the difference as what they're doing, you know, going back and forth on the stimulus and everything. I mean, they're still filibustering. They're just not calling it that. I keep saying that over and over again, because it's like, you just look at all the little stuff they focus on, and then they get in these little tiffs, and then they go out on their little media campaigns and complain. You know, it's like the never ending filibuster.
And now they're up against that deadline. You're right. They just keep going around and around in a circle, just totally around in a circle. That's Congress. Grover chasing his tail. Truth be told, it probably wasn't going to pass the Senate anyway, because Democratic Senator Joe Manchin and, of course, Kristen Sinema out there in Arizona, they were against the wage increase anyway. So meaning that a majority of the Senate was opposed to it, all the Republicans and then a few Democrats. Even President, this part really stunned me, that even President Joe Biden told, you know, this is, you don't just privately tell this. I mean, this leaks out on purpose, that Biden privately knew that the parliamentarian was going to rule against this. Way to go, Joe. Way to go, man. You really showed some backbone, brother.
Come on, man.
It's true. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake that if you wanted to pass minimum wage, a true minimum wage, that this is on you. You would have had to show leadership in this situation to get this through. You and Kamala Harris. You could have gone to the mat on this. But instead, you punted. And you were signaling that you were okay with the parliamentarian balking at this minimum wage increase. You know, this is a setback, of course, for Biden and the party, but, you know, Bernie Sanders is still fighting this. I mean, and, you know, this and the Neera Tanden controversy, it hasn't been a great week for the White House. So this has been the first kind of real test of the White House this week. Forget the politics side of it, though. It's also a huge setback for 17 million of you who would have seen a wage increase. Let's not forget what this is all about. There's serious real-world implications in all of this. But there's a weird kind of side angle to this story this morning, which is that Speaker Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, says that she intends to keep the minimum wage in the COVID bill when it comes to the floor. And it could come as early as today. I'll get to that in a minute. But she says in a statement last night, House Democrats believe that the minimum wage hike is necessary, she says. And she says, therefore, this provision will remain in the American Rescue Plan on the floor tomorrow. So you're just doing that just to save face, because the Senate parliamentarian has just ruled that it cannot be in the bill when it gets to the Senate. So what are you doing that for? You're doing it because you know that the progressives in your party, like AOC and Ilhan Omar and others, would not even vote for it, as they've said, unless the minimum wage piece is in the bill. So you're just keeping it in there to please the progressive wing of your caucus. I get it. Okay. But it's a Pyrrhic victory. It doesn't do anything to keep it in there. It's not going to pass. Ilhan Omar, for her part in this, tweeted out, $15 minimum wage, not $10, not $11, $15. So what are we going to do here? Well, here are the possible paths forward for the policy, from at least, like, from the least likely on up to the most likely. So the least likely is, why don't we fire the Senate parliamentarian? Kick her out. In back in 2001, you remember this? I don't know how many of you were following politics back then, but Trent Lott tried this at the time, the majority leader. Republicans didn't like the reconciliation rulings, and they replaced a him at the time with like a more pliable Senate parliamentarian. Why not that? Why don't we fire her? Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota tweeted last night, replace the parliamentarian. She said, what's a Democratic majority if we can't pass our priority bills? This is unacceptable, she said on Twitter. But actually this morning, if you go looking for that tweet, as I did, to try to pull it up and show it to you, apparently she took it down. Which is unlike a progressive member of the squad. You know, they sort of stand by. I'm surprised they said fire her. Maybe she realized. I don't know. I don't know what sort of change of heart she had on that. So who's opposed to everyone? Who's opposed to like firing the parliamentarian? Everyone other than like Ilhan Omar and maybe Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So it doesn't look like that's going to happen. What about overruling the parliamentarian? That's what Republicans proposed back in 2017 when they were frustrated with the with some of the items in Trump's Obamacare repeal bill. Went through the reconciliation process. Senator Ted Cruz, of all people back then, who was also president of the Senate, could ignore the advisory opinions of the parliamentarian and decide for himself what policies were kosher under the reconciliation process. So who's in favor of this? You have Pramila Jayapal of Washington State, head of the House Progressive Caucus, who would find the Senate rules absurd. You have Ro Khanna. He's kind of a maverick. He tweeted out, I'm sorry, an unelected parliamentarian does not get to deprive 32 million Americans the raise that they deserve. This is an advisory role, not a ruling. An advisory ruling, not an actual ruling. He said Vice President Harris needs to disregard the rule and pass a $15 minimum wage order. So could she do that? Again, if they were strong, if Biden was a strong leader in this situation and actually wanted to pass $15 an hour minimum wage, he would fight for it. And he would use Kamala Harris as the tie-breaking vote to vote for it and pass it in the Senate. So who's opposed to this whole thing? White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain and Biden. Klain said, no, we don't need to do that. He said, we don't need to get rid of the parliamentarian. He said that on MSNBC last night. And the White House released a statement saying that Biden respects the parliamentarian's decision and the Senate process. Strong. Another option is to pass a standalone minimum wage bill. They can get 60 votes in the Senate. There's no way that's going to happen either. Because when you have people like Senator Lindsey Graham, who took time out of his day yesterday to trash the idea of a minimum wage increase. By the way, at the beginning of this, he says, thank you, Bernie. Chairman. He literally did this. He goes, thank you, Bernie. Chairman. And then he goes on to rail against the minimum wage.
Well, we can have our discussion about that concept, but here's where we should agree, that if you're running the sanitary cafe, you don't have that luxury. Because there's just only so much money coming in the door, and if you have to double the cost of paying a worker, you're probably not going to hire anybody else. And teenagers and senior citizens benefit from jobs in the hospitality industry and the service industry, make a little extra money that first job. But if you increase cost on the restaurants throughout this country right now, you're going to crush them, Mr. Chairman. In South Carolina, it's anticipated that 50%.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're concerned about the restaurants? I don't know if you've got the memo, Senator, but you guys have already done a great job of crapping all over the restaurants and the hospitality industry. You haven't done jack to help them. So you can sit there on your high horse and tell us now how you are concerned about raising the minimum wage would hurt the hospitality industry?
They did actually help.
And those low-income workers?
They did actually help them. They did the three martini rule thing or whatever, and now they can spend more money, which means more tips, right?
Right. I totally forgot about that. Right. Wealthy people can now write off the 100% of their lunches when they go out on a business lunch. That's going to help, according to Donald Trump, that's going to help those restaurants. Okay, great. So all of these small businesses, these restaurants, these hotels, small hotels, and those people in the service industry have lost their jobs. So you're concerned now about what?
100% of the restaurants that have been hit by COVID will never come back. The state government and local government are mandating reduced seating because of COVID. They're mandating increased cost of doing business, and restaurants are struggling to stay alive. The PPP loans have been helpful, but they're not going to be around forever. And the bottom line, Mr. Chairman, is if we impose a new mandate on the expense side combined with mandates to reduce revenue, we're going to crush these people. You have been championing this idea for a long time. I would just urge you that during the COVID crisis, the last thing the federal government should be doing is doubling the cost of doing businesses for small businesses in the hospitality service industry that are barely making it to begin with. And this has got nothing to do with COVID. It's in the COVID package. So I hope that you will understand that the 1.4 million jobs at CBO anticipates to be lost are going to come from people at the lower end. The Walmart guy's not going to lose his job. Who's going to lose his job? Some teenager or senior citizen who's, you know, able to get a little extra money and start building a resume. So my belief is there will be a time to look at increasing the minimum wage. That during the COVID crisis, this is the worst possible time to increase mandates on small businesses, because they're barely making it to begin with. And I look.
Yeah. Well, way to help those small businesses. So on the one hand, you're sitting there talking about the need for a massive package, something to help these businesses, and yet you're not even going to support a stimulus package. I love how they talk out of both sides of their mouth. So who's in favor of this? I mean, seems like it's dwindling supply around Washington. Well, you know, the White House has been telegraphing for weeks that the minimum wage would not survive the reconciliation process. Biden said in an interview with CBS that he thinks, well, it's a separate negotiation on a minimum wage. I mean, a group of Republicans recently introduced a bill that would increase the minimum wage to $10 an hour. Indexed to inflation, and we mentioned Mitt Romney and Tom Cotton passing that. It would also require the use of the e-verify system to make sure that employers are not hiring undocumented immigrants, because Americans are really competing for those jobs, picking strawberries in the fields of California. Sure. But there is one big thing to watch on all of this. We're going to keep our eye on the clock. So in about 11 minutes this morning, we're watching the House Rules Committee. They are slated to meet this morning at 9:30 Eastern time to set the parameters for the debate on the COVID bill. So we were hoping that they could pass this today. Now, here's what happens. In about 10 minutes, if that meeting is delayed, then there's a problem. It likely means that the Democratic leaders are busy trying to cobble together a manager's amendment, which would then alter the package on the House floor. And then that vote basically would mean it could push late tonight or even into Saturday. So at the heart of all of this is a deadline of March 14th. So again, in about 10 minutes, we will know whether or not the House Rules Committee is delayed, and I will bring that information to you here on the show. We've got much more news to get to here on the show. But yeah, it is true. Like, Washington just keeps going around circles on this, unfortunately. Just really, really troubling. Our friends at stamps.com. Look, you don't need to go to the post office right now. You do not want to spend time at the post office. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at stamps.com. They allow you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and you're going to pay a lot less with these discounted rates from the Postal Service and UPS and more. And with a business, the money you're going to save businesses, you can reinvest that in other areas of your company. You know, you'll save a lot of hours and a lot of money. Plus, you'll get services that you rely on at the post office and UPS all in one place, just right online, right in front of you. You don't need to go to the post office. The best part is you're going to get a discount. So right up here at the top of the screen, everyone look at the top of the screen. You see that little microphone icon here? Click on that. And what's going to happen is you're going to get a promo code called Invest, and you are going to save money just for getting it. You're going to get a 4-week trial for free with no risk. Use our promo code INVEST and you'll get a special 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. They will mail you a digital scale, which is awesome. So if you run a small business, you can print any postage right from your computer 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want. And once your mail is ready, you can actually have it scheduled for a pickup or drop off. During COVID, I mean, you do not need to be standing in line at a post office. So take advantage of stamps.com. And what's great is you're going to get discounts of 40% off their rates, up to 62% off of UPS rates. That alone saves you a boatload of money. So if you're shipping eBay packages or whatever you're doing, if you're running a small business right now, now's the time to try to become an entrepreneur and step out and build something. Stamps.com is the way to go. So again, go to stamps.com and click on that little microphone icon at the top and use that promo code INVEST to get a free scale and a 4-week free trial. We thank them for their support of the show. All right, let's get back to the news this morning. President Biden overnight, I don't know if you were watching this, President Biden goes to war. It didn't take more than 4 weeks, folks. 4 weeks, or just a little under 4 weeks of his presidency, for President Biden to flex his military muscles and launch his first airstrikes in a foreign country. So I just want you to, just so you get some understanding of how this played out, I want you to watch, how CNN played it on their website. U.S. carries out strikes in Syria targeting Iranian-backed militias. And I love how the CNN in their text writes this. U.S. military on Thursday struck a site in Syria used by two Iranian-backed militia groups in response to rocket attacks on American forces in the region in the past 2 weeks. Quote, up to a handful of militants were killed in the strike, a U.S. official told CNN. Up to just a handful. And then here's the part I love. The strike, which marks the U.S. military's first known action under President Joe Biden, swiftly drew criticism from a Democratic lawmaker. The site was not specifically tied to the rocket attacks, but Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said he was confident it was used by the same Iranian-backed Shia militias that had fired rockets at U.S. and coalition forces. Okay, it drew criticism from a Democratic lawmaker? That's all that CNN could include in this. And by the way, what's the name of this one random Democratic lawmaker? Who? Like, put their name in here.
Well, and how many militants is a handful? Like, they don't even fit in your hand. Like, that's a...
It's just a, it's a quaint little handful, David. Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions when your government is bombing people.
Like, oh, it's just a handful, you know, that's like... You know, think of a handful of potatoes or a handful full of food. It's not that many. They're just human like this, lives.
Last night I had a handful of chips. Just had a handful of chips. But a Democratic lawmaker? All you friggin' need to... I looked around today. I found dozens easily that are public. Like, you couldn't include that in the article? What about Ro Khanna? We cannot stand up for congressional authorization before military strikes only when there is a Republican president. The administration should have sought congressional authorization here. We need to work to extricate ourselves from the Middle East, not escalate. Hallelujah. So just watch how the mainstream media falls in line. I mean, this is why I'm thankful that all of you watch our show and you subscribe to our show and you support our show, because we are not run by billionaires who want to continue these military strikes and endless foreign wars. This show wants us to bring these people home, close these military bases, and invest in us, healthcare, schools, infrastructure, public college. That's why this is a progressive show. That's what I stand for. So when you support our show, you're supporting independent journalism. But if you watch mainstream media, as I've warned you before, this is exactly what happens. The mainstream media falls in line and supports these military strikes. So it didn't take me long at all, as soon as this happened, for me to find, I mean, like 20 different examples. And I won't bore you with all of them, but this is what you need to be aware of. They immediately get a general. They bring in general. Well, this is our general we're going to bring in and show you. General, I'm glad to have you here on the show because I want to talk to you about what the Syria military strikes. Did President Biden make a smart move here with this attack? Let's listen to the general. So all of these networks, MSNBC, CNN, they get their generals on the TV and they want to know, was this a smart move? What do you think he's going to say? And this is the propaganda that you're fed on a regular basis. Watch.
Obviously, you know, doing your first strike is something that you know is going to be significant. So, General.
First of all, I just got to say, I want you to listen to how Erin Burnett, the anchor, how she says, it's like getting your first kiss. She's like, you know, this is obviously important. It's like, it's really important when you're a president and you get your first strike, your military strike. It's an important moment. It's like getting your first kiss. Like, that's how she plays this.
Hartling, what do you make of the timing of this strike? Obviously, you know, doing your first strike is something that you know is going to be significant, pick up headlines, make a statement. This is what President Biden has chosen to make that statement with.
I'd say it is a proportional response based on the attack at the Erbil airport.
Shocking. A general thinks that it's a proportional response. And this is the propaganda that you're spoon-fed. It's a proportional response.
Right, the handful.
I'm reminded of The American President, one of my favorite movies of all time, with Michael Douglas and Annette Bening, when he says, yes, Mr. President, it's a proportional response. He said, remind me again what a proportional response is. We're going to attack this one building and hope that we minimize the loss of life. What's a proportional response? Here's your generals giving you a proportional response.
That Orrin talked about back on the 15th of February, where a contractor was killed, several people were wounded, and it was an attack on a U.S. base in a very peaceful part in the Kurdish Republic.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting about this is there have been other...
Yes, yes, I agree with you, General. Yes, you're so right. You're so right.
Attacks. There is continual harassment by Iranian militia. This is a signal. So it is a proportional response to the Iranian government. It is disconnected to a degree from the nuclear efforts that President Biden is going to attempt probably in the near future, as Phil just said. But I got to tell you, this is just interesting to me because there are dozens of Iranian-backed militias within Iraq and within Syria They have been harassing U.S. forces.
They're harassing U.S. forces.
Maybe because where we're not supposed to be.
Right. You know, like when my son goes into my daughter's room and she's like, Miles, get out of here. I've told you to stop playing with my stuff. Miles, leave my room. He's not supposed to be in there. Why are we building military bases? We just opened a new military base in Syria. Why? When we can't feed our people at home? And he says, you know, this might complicate things for that Iran nuclear deal, you know, for us trying to end the proliferation of nuclear missiles. He said it's disconnected from that. Yeah, you think? So, David, if I want to, you know, negotiate with you, but first I'm going to bomb your farm near your house, will you still want to negotiate with me? You just bombed my friends.
Well, and here, there's a comment from Joshua says, I agree with you, Clayton, about not warring with these other countries. However, we live in the nuclear age. We must keep a military presence abroad. But the thing is, like, a lot of people don't realize there are all these countries that have nuclear weapons. They probably, like, we're the only ones in the world that have actually used nuclear weapons on people. We're the ones that should not have them.
Right. Yeah. We want to dictate to who, by the way, no one ever plans to use nuclear weapons, as Gaddafi famously talked about. The idea is you're just using them as a deterrent. Like, North Korea is never going to use a nuclear weapon. They know they would be wiped off the map instantly. No one will use a nuclear weapon.
But we don't need to have a military presence abroad, because all that does is intimidate people. And that's a reason, like, you listen to, I mean, I know, think what you will about North Korea, but they're like, hey, look, we're going to have these weapons because we can't trust you guys. You guys are like testing and doing like military actions off of our like borders. I mean, I understand why they would want to.
Right. So you're here in our waters. I mean, yeah. I mean, but this is the mainstream media for you. And by the way, you know, here's Caitlin Johnston's piece. Excellent piece. Says U.S. bombs Syria and ridiculously claims it was self-defense. She writes, on orders of President Biden, the United States has launched an airstrike on a facility in Syria. As of this writing, the exact number of killed and injured is unknown, with early reports claiming a, quote, handful of people were killed. Rather than doing anything remotely resembling journalism, the Western mass media have opted instead to uncritically repeat what they've been told about the airstrikes by U.S. officials, which is the same as just publishing Pentagon press releases. So we're told by Lloyd Austin that, yeah, we think we killed a handful of militants. That's what they're telling us. This is how they lie, folks. They're telling us that they think this facility, Lloyd Austin says, we think this facility was connected. You think? Okay. You didn't get congressional authorization to do anything. And by the way, President Biden loves to talk about how he respects the process of the Senate and Congress, doesn't he? After all, he served there for 36 years. We've heard repeatedly over the past few weeks that President Biden supports the process of Congress. Oh, yeah. Except when you're president and you ignore Congress and you don't ask for authorization for a military strike. You just do it yourself. But you're okay with the Senate parliamentarian. You respect the process of the Senate parliamentarian telling you you can't put a minimum wage increase in your COVID bill.
Come on, man.
We call out hypocrisy on both sides on this show. The mainstream media, though, falls in line and supports these strikes like, yeah, this is fun. Like, I love how Erin Burnett said it. She's like, you know, it's always fun when you get your first military strike. You know, what's that like for you? And this is the one he chose to do first, like as if it's like a rite of passage that within the first few weeks of your presidency, you got to bomb some stuff.
Well, and I see a lot of people in the chat saying, you know, it's good they struck us, or I don't trust those other countries. We should be over there. But the thing is, like, we're the ones that she can't be trusted. Like the media has you people convinced, the people that believe that, they have you convinced that we do need to be there. But that's the thing. You're buying into a narrative that they want you to buy into.
Right. They want you to believe that you need to be, we need to have military bases all around the world because that is how we stay secure. Garbage. You mean to tell me this, which came out today, and one of our viewers, an eagle-eyed viewer, sent this to me overnight, and I thank you for that. Lockheed Martin just secured another $14 million order to build these anti-ship missile production vehicles.
You said 14 yeah. million. It's 414 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 414 million. Great. Hey, Lockheed Martin, how's it feel to keep getting money from taxpayers? How many people in the chat right now are happy that your tax dollars are going to build new drone strike equipment that literally what it does is, let me break this down for you. The way that this new aircraft works is that it's only designed to basically go in between major military vessels in the ocean. So let's say there's seven or five huge craft. This drone would do something where it would interact and inhibit that communication and disrupt that. First of all, can you think of an armada of ships that the United States is facing right now that we need to have this type of equipment built for millions of dollars? You want to talk about priorities, Lindsey Graham, and why we can't raise the minimum wage during a COVID crisis? But it's okay for us to spend $414 million for a drone that's only meant to go after large battleships? Give me a break. This stuff infuriates me. So Caitlin Johnston continues in her piece, which I love. She says, so we are being told that the United States launched an airstrike on Syria, a nation it invaded and is illegally occupying, because of attacks on U.S. locations in Iraq, another nation the U.S. invaded and is illegally occupying. This attack is justified on the basis that the Iraqi fighters were Iranian-linked, a claim that is both entirely without evidence and irrelevant to the justification of deadly military force.
It's Iraq.
And this is somehow being framed in the mainstream media news publications as a defensive operation.
It's Iraq all over again.
Defensive.
It's like they got the weapons of mass destruction, all this other. It's just that narrative all over again. And the thing is, they keep doing it because people buy into it.
Aaron Mate says, to remind Iran, who's boss, rather than conduct the diplomacy he promised, Biden opts to act as an ISIS air force. That's who Iranian-backed militia have long been fighting. The U.S. is the defense. Here's the Defense Department stenography. The U.S. military is an invading force in both Syria and Iraq. It is impossible for its actions in either of those countries to be defensive. I mean, you think about that for a second, right? We invaded these countries. And now we're being told that our coalition forces are being harassed. We invaded you. And we are being harassed? It's laughable. I mean, think about someone invading the United States. Would we allow that? And then we would be harassing those people? It's always necessarily the aggressor. It's the people trying to eject them who are acting defensively. The deaths of U.S. troops and contractors in those countries can only be blamed on the powerful people who sent them there. Yeah, we're pissed about the militants that attacked somebody who's building a military base in a country they shouldn't be in the first place.
Well, and Bruce Davis when President is saying, Biden, Bruce is saying, well, David, we leave and they will start ISIS or some kind of group to go after our country and us. But that's the thing. They create those groups because we're there. They don't create those groups. Like, if we would leave and leave them all alone, those groups would take care of themselves. I mean, those people have been fighting for thousands of years over stuff.
You know, Osama, I mean, Look, I'm not one to take advice from Osama bin Laden, but here's a guy who said the reason that they attacked us on 9/11 is because we were building a military base in Saudi Arabia and extending our presence in the Middle East. That's the reason they justified attacking us. Obviously, an awful response and horrible what happened on 9/11. But like, that's the main reason they said they wanted to attack us.
But at the end of the day,
we continue to stick our nose.
At the end of the day, is that really any different than what we do?
No. I mean, if we continue to push into other countries illegally,
if
set up military bases.
If China came here and built a base in Texas, you know, what would we do?
Yeah, we would allow that. We'd be happy about that. What would Texans do about that? Just imagine that for a moment. Man, these Texans, they're just harassing us. Can they, you know, these Texans, we need to take them out. Awful. So this continues to happen. And, you know, it's a difficult subject to talk about. We like to live in our sort of cloistered world where we only want to focus on the things that affect our immediate family. But this has massive implications for our country. And when we ignore the fact that we literally go into villages and bomb them, and we have no accounting of who actually died, how many civilians are killed as a result, and we want to sit back and say that we're, you know, we support life, or we want to have a better future for our children, and yet we're indiscriminately blowing up villages in Yemen, then the mainstream media spoon feeds this to you.
The Iraqi government is tired of these Iranian militias, but they can't do as much about them because of the political implications there. But it, in my view, is a very good response by the new administration to what has been happening in terms of the Iranian-backed militias tempting these kinds of strikes against the United States forces, the 2,500 or so that are still in Iraq.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, General. Yeah.
But the message, David, is it also that they're trying to show, okay, we're going to be tough on you just because we may want to renegotiate. We may work on that nuclear deal again. Don't misunderstand that for, okay, do whatever you want with impunity. I mean, is that what they're trying to accomplish with it, and will it work?
Well, it's a message to them, and it's a message to other allies in the region and to players here in Washington as well, that just because they want to move forward on an agreement to try and limit the nuclear program in Iran doesn't mean that they're going to turn a blind eye to aggressive behavior on the part of Iran. So it is both, as the general says, a proportional response to an attack or a series of them, but to one in particular. But it also is a message that that they're not going to get a pass simply because these talks have been offered.
So, General Hertling, what do you make of the timing of this?
You know what proportional means to me? What that means they're not telling us is, yeah, there were a handful of militants, but how many innocent people? Because like 90% of the people that are killed in all of these strikes are innocent people. So it's like, oh yeah, 100 people were killed and a handful of them were militants, which meaning like what, 3, 2, something like that, whatever a handful means to them. But people don't realize most of the people that die in these strikes are innocent.
Yeah, I talked with Special Forces members who said that's exactly what happens. You know, we don't know about this because we live in a sanitized world. We, you know, in America, we don't like to see the chicken. We like to see the breast of chicken wrapped in cellophane at the grocery store. Don't show me how it's made. Just give me the wrapped up chicken and I'll take that home and cook it. But if I actually go out there and see them plucking and, you know, doing what they do, I probably wouldn't. I don't want to see it. Just give me the sanitized version of everything. I don't want to see it on my television. I just want to know that we're continuing to bomb quote-unquote terrorists. Yeah, children are going to die. That's fine. That's collateral proportional damage, I guess. You're fine with that. Caitlin Johnstone says, it's illegitimate for the United States to be in the Middle East at all. It's illegitimate for the U.S. to claim to be acting defensively in nations it invaded. It's illegitimate for the U.S. to act like Iranian-backed fighters aren't allowed to be in Syria, where they are fighting against the Syrian government, against ISIS and other extremist militias without the permission of Damascus. It's illegitimate for the United States to claim that fighters attacking U.S. personnel in Iraq are controlled by Iran when Iraqis have every reason to want the U.S. out of their country themselves. CNN, you know, I love like the revealing of this on national news. Like, it's like amazing how quickly it unfolded. I mean, you could watch it anywhere. You could watch it on conservative media, CNBC, CNN, MSNBC. Rachel Maddow last night was fawning over the idea of this. It's like, what happens to progressives when we like start bombing people indiscriminately? Well, this show doesn't stand for that. And they should be, you know, this is the kind of thing when President Biden says, you know, nothing will fundamentally change when I'm president, he's right. And literally all you need to do is watch CNN and see former Obama chief of staff David Axelrod on television, or former advisor David Axelrod on television, propping it up. Yeah, Bernie, you know, Biden did a great job here. Wonderful job.
Strike. Obviously, you know, doing your first strike is something that you know is going to be significant, pick up headlines, make a statement. This is
doing your first strike like your first kiss. It's really important. You know, like Justin Trudeau, when he, you know, becomes like Prime Minister of Canada, you know, Angela Merkel, Prime Minister of New Zealand, Prime Minister of Australia, President of Prime Minister of Portugal, President of Norway. Like, when they come in, is it like you have to, in your first 4 weeks, bomb somebody else to be legitimate? I know it's important, like your first kiss, your first strike.
After they go off air, you know, they're all like, oh my gosh, what you said about that first kiss, that was brilliant. It's kind of like we don't want the smoking gun to come in the form of a mushroom cloud. Like, oh my gosh, that was so good. We got to use that. Let's put that in the propaganda piece. And then it becomes something that they all start saying.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. You know, I spoke, and then, you know, Erin will have another segment 5 segments later, and she'll say, you know, I earlier in the show, I don't know if you saw, but I spoke to General blah, blah, blah. And of course, he's a general, so he knows. He said this was a proportional response, and this was a smart move by President Biden. What do you think? Yeah, you know, far be it for me to disagree with the general. I think you're right, John. That's how it goes. So all this propaganda, this war propaganda unfolding, pay attention to it. Don't be, you know, asleep to this stuff. Demand a change in this country. Like, this is the stuff that should not be happening. We want to take care of our people back home. We've got to stop this massive military industrial complex. We've got to take a stand, put in progressive candidates. You know, people like a Ro Khanna who are not afraid to stand up and say, hey, this is total garbage. You know, we can't stand for a congressional authorization before military strikes only when there's a Republican president. The administration should have sought congressional authorization here. We need to work to extricate from the Middle East, not escalate. Absolutely. And Lockheed Martin secures their $414 million order for a new anti-ship missile production system. Yeah. U.S. Navy and Air Force, we need this, right? This is a, I'm telling you what, if there's one thing we need right now, it's for President Biden to be wasting money on anti-missile, long-range ship-to-missile BS.
Come on, man.
Yeah, because our ships aren't hurting enough. There in their waters.
Yeah, our ships are in their waters, but we are under massive attack from massive navies out there. Where? What? If anything, we're facing economic war that we're dealing with. Maybe that's more real than anything else. Who we are in debt to. Trade debt and otherwise. Well, Bernie Sanders decided to take on Walmart yesterday. And boy, did you guys see this? This was some good stuff. So Bernie Sanders taking on Walmart and the poverty wages that they've been paying their employees. Here's Bernie Sanders at this hearing. Now, of course, he is congressional budget chair. And he wants to hold a series of hearings on the minimum wage, on these big companies, which reap billions of dollars but can't afford to pay a living wage to their employees. Here was Bernie.
At $11 an hour for the last 3 years. The result? 760,000 workers at Walmart. Walmart is the largest employer in America. 760,000 employees, about half of their U.S. workforce, are paid less than $15 an hour. Now, I don't know. Maybe if you are a billionaire family, you may not understand this, but the simple truth is that no one in America can live with dignity, can raise a family on $11 or $12 an hour. And I must say, on a personal level, that I have talked to too many employees in this country who, with tears in their eyes, tell me about the struggles that they are having trying to feed their kids, pay their rent on the starvation wages that they receive. Today, we're going to ask how Walmart can afford to pay its CEO, who declined my invitation to be with us today, over $22 million in compensation last year. $22 million in compensation, but somehow they cannot afford to pay their workers a living wage. We're going to ask how Walmart can afford to spend $8.3 billion on stock buybacks in 2017, but cannot afford to pay its workers at least 15 bucks an hour. And if Walmart thinks that they're going to avoid answering that question because they didn't show up today, they are deeply mistaken.
I mean, what cowards, by the way. You didn't show up. Like, your Senate asks you to come to Washington to talk about paying a fair wage to your employees. What a smart PR move for you. Don't show up. Ignore it. Skip town. So can Democrats make that March 14th deadline? That's the big question on the right now, drafting of a new version of this stimulus bill. We're going to be watching that today, whether or not they can pass this bill in time. We're going to be keeping our eye on whether or not this package comes up and is in hands of the Senate later today. That'll be interesting. Right now, I want to get the breaking news. The COVID relief package is going to come. The final vote, we're getting word now that it's going to happen tonight. It's going to be a long day, folks. We're looking at a long day, according to Jake Sherman. Final vote on the COVID relief package could come around 8 or 9 p.m. tonight. And we also just learned that, no, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, is apparently going to take the chicken crap route here and not step in on this Senate parliamentarian thing on the minimum wage. So the Biden administration has now basically admitted that they're not going to stand up for Bernie Sanders' $15 an hour minimum wage. And the White House is not going to weigh in on it. They're going to respect the process of the Senate and the Senate parliamentarian. So as of, we were watching the 9:30 timeline just a few minutes ago, 9:30 a.m. As of now, the vote on the stimulus package is on track to happen today. So that will come out of the House of Representatives, likely tonight, be delivered to the Senate, and then the Senate will start its process on the COVID relief bill. So this is a huge step forward, but it's also a huge step back because minimum wage is not included in this. So Democrats are not having a good week.
But Clayton, they don't, it doesn't matter. It's Democrat controlled. Like, they don't need the Republicans anymore. Remember, that's what we were told. Like, they can get anything passed now. Yeah. They've got control of everything. So I don't know why you're so worried.
I mean, this is the line that we've been fed, right? That Democrats have total control of this, right? Democrats run the show now. Democrats can make this deadline. Bernie Sanders feeling this morning, like now he's going to have to pass another amendment. So getting word on a new Bernie Sanders thing, because like David's right, this idea that we'd have any Republican support was never going to happen. But the fact that we have to go around Democrats in your own party to pass legislation that would help people. Again, I saw an email or someone was critical of me yesterday saying, you know, Clayton says these parties are one and the same. They really are. When you look at the heart of these parties, Republicans and Democrats, the fact that this can just fly through without a problem, not a peep, not a criticism, not a whimper, not a peep, that we can just spend overnight $414 million to buy a new anti-ship missile program, spend $740 billion on defense budget, and both sides stand up and applaud it. Nary a peep about it, right? Do it very fast so the American people don't know what's actually in it. Go through the defense bill and actually see what's in that thing. That they're just one big party. And then you have your fringe people, your Bernie Sanders, you know, your Rand Pauls, your AOCs, your, you know, progressive wing of the party that wants us out of these foreign wars. And that's what the leadership does. They pander to those people. Like Nancy Pelosi will just pander to AOC. She just panders to Ilhan Omar. You want meaningful change? You need to get these people out of there. So Bernie Sanders last night, considering this new amendment, that he'd put forth an amendment to strip tax breaks from companies that don't pay their employees $15 per hour. And this wouldn't have a Byrd rule problem. So here's Bernie Sanders' brilliance on this. Hey, fine, you're not going to let us pass a $15 an hour minimum wage. I'm going to add an amendment to the COVID bill, which is going to cut tax breaks for all of you big corporations like Walmart out there that don't raise your minimum wage to $15 an hour. If you don't, you lose your tax breaks. You'll be penalized through tax.
That's how it should be anyway. That is exactly how it should be, because you force the companies that can afford it to pay what they should be paying and lower their profits. It's crazy that they can pay the wages that they pay and still profit like so much. Like, I would want to know what the profit is versus what they actually pay out. It's probably higher.
Oh, it's massive. It's massive. Listen to this.
The American people are sick and tired of subsidizing the wealthiest family in America. But let us be clear. Walmart is not alone. Last year, Dollar General made over $10 billion in profits, had enough money to pay its CEO $12 million in compensation, while the average Dollar General cashier is forced to survive on just $8.38 an hour. In 2019, McDonald's made over $6 billion in profits and paid its CEO over $18 million in compensation, while the average worker at McDonald's makes as little as $9 an hour. Unfortunately, the CEO of McDonald's also declined to testify before us today.
You wimp.
Further, a November 2020 Government Accountability Office report that I requested found that taxpayers are not only subsidizing the poverty wages at Walmart, McDonald's, and Dollar General, but Dollar Tree, Wendy's, Burger King, Uber, Subway, Dunkin' Donuts, Home Depot, Lowe's, CVS, and Walgreens. We will hear from the author of that GAO report later this morning.
When you can make billions during a pandemic and you can't afford to pay your employees a living wage. Disgusting. Disgusting. But this does face a bigger test, though. Can he do this? Will Democrats actually vote for this tax? Will they get 50 votes? That's the big question. It's a big question, of course, because God knows where Joe Manchin will come down on that, or Kristen Sinema will come down on that. 50%. 50 votes, that's what they need. And will these Democrats stand up and do it or not? We'll see. We will see. Don't forget to sign up for our daily newsletter. It's totally free. Delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. Now, today we released a little bit later to coincide more closely with the show. We're going to check our server. I want to make sure that these are out. So you receive it about 20 minutes, 30 minutes before the show starts.
Yeah, I got
mine. So just
mine
go to
finally.
morninginvest.com. You got yours? Okay.
Yeah, but I got it to hit like right when the
like
show was
20
started.
Minutes before the show. Okay. So go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you will be added to our list. This is how you support independent journalism. We provide you a great newsletter every morning, Monday through Friday, and it helps support independent journalism. We are not a billionaire corporation, and you can be informed with some great news first thing in the morning. Oh, it's super chat time. Let's talk chat time and jump into our...
Okay, I just wanted to address something. Michael Stewart said, most Burger Kings and McDonald's are small businesses and have little to do with the CEO makes. But the thing is, like, if the U.S. is subsidizing McDonald's, then what McDonald's should do itself is subsidize their own franchisees. Like, you know, McDonald's, right. The corporation could subsidize these franchises so that they can pay better. I think that would be the point.
Well, and the truth of the matter is I used to work at McDonald's, okay? I used to work the morning shift at McDonald's. That was my first job. I had a paper route, and I worked at McDonald's. And I made nothing. And I was there at 5:30 in the morning. Made nothing. Most McDonald's franchises are not run... They're not just owned by one person. They're owned by multiple. So that means that that owner owns multiple McDonald's franchises. And yes, in a way, they're small businesses, but even the McDonald's I worked at, that owner of that McDonald's owned like 5 or 6 locations. And he lived in a mansion, okay? And he would pop in like once a month. He'd make a burger for like a few minutes in his fancy suit and tie. So I'm not going to be crying about the owners of McDonald's. And the fact of the matter is, yes, it's a franchise. It's a franchise relationship with the main company. And of course, that was the criticism during the PPP loan problem, right? When Shake Shack and others were taking all of these PPP loans, trying to claim that they're a small business because they fall under the 500 employee threshold. The outcry was loud, and they gave that money back. So... that's my thought on that. Let's kick on some music and do some super chat.
You got to say it like that.
And that's all I have to say about that. I was running. I bet if I remember real hard, I could remember my first pair of shoes. They was my magic shoes.
Oh my gosh. Exactly like him. Exactly. Like I close my eyes. I see Tom Hanks.
You see Forrest Gump.
Yep.
All right, let's see here. Any good
Super chats. We got J.S. Claiborne. Thank you for your hard work. I think a 10% increase in minimum wage over the next 10 years per year should be significant for all workers. I appreciate your broadcast and watch it daily. Heavy rain in Prosper, Texas.
Thank you.
Why do these morons keep talking like it's going to double anything because the increase in minimum wage is up to $15 an hour and over 4 years away?
Right. Yeah. I know. Like, you know, Lindsey Graham wants to sit there and say this is just going to crush corporations.
How could we, in a responsible way, increase the minimum wage? But right now is not the time, in my view.
Yeah, it just would be horror. Right now, it's just not the time. You know, this afternoon, I'm going to be having a cigarette with John Boehner. We're going to talk about how we can continue to screw over the American people. I don't even smoke.
Independent thinker. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
The independent thinker, the $2,000 per month, $600 per week UI from July and forever for consumer paying taxpayers deserve it. They shouldn't be worried about voters because as long as they work for the people and did this plan, consumer economy after all. Thank you for the super chat. Jody, the greatest country in the world is only happy if the rich get richer and everyone else struggles to keep their heads above water.
Right.
Suzette Lizik, all roads lead to war with Iran. The MIC has been pushing for this for a long time. Biden just gave them an inch while we were distracted by a plague. Oh, just gave in while we were distracted by it.
Just gave in. Yeah. Yeah.
Christopher with $5 super chat. Thank you. Socially awkward with $4.99. Does Syria and China and Russia all have military bases here in the USA? No, they do not.
He asked with a straight face. Yeah. When's the last time you were driving by and you went by the Chinese military base where they're just doing tests and launching aircraft?
Yeah, it's not like they have turrets on top of their embassies.
You know, I was in Italy a few years ago and just driving along. I think we were in Naples. Yeah, we were in Naples and just driving along. I'm like, whoa, massive Air Force base. United States Air Force base right here in Naples. Holy smokes. I have a Marine Corps friend who's a pilot. Just had to fly to Naples, Italy, and for military exercises. Could you imagine the United States, an Iraqi military base? They're just here doing drills. They're just doing bombing runs. It's okay. Don't worry.
Did I ever play you that video that we did? We had a super PAC that we did for Ron Paul's campaign about the military bases in Texas?
No.
I'm going to play that. Because this is like, this is, hold on. This is something that really makes you think what it would be like if we had people invading us here, building a base here in the United States. Okay, so let me get this full screen.
Mr. Nice to Meet You says, super chat, our nation is becoming a joke compared to others. Brandon Lee Rivera says, so sad our great country is run by D's. Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
Lisa Lindsay says, thanks, Clayton, for the show. I've learned so much from your experience and knowledge. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. If they did raise the minimum wage, do you think taxes would go up to bomb more countries? Talking Tax asks. I don't believe so. I don't think that it would have anything to do with that. They're going to bomb more countries regardless of taxes. They managed to funnel as much money as they want to military-industrial complex. It has nothing to do with that. They'll figure it out. Did you find it, the video? Yep,
I got it. You ready?
Yep.
Imagine for a moment that somewhere in the middle of Texas, there was a large foreign military base, say Chinese or Russian. Imagine that thousands of armed foreign troops were constantly patrolling American streets in military vehicles. Imagine they were here under the auspices of keeping us safe or promoting democracy or protecting their strategic interests. Imagine that they operated outside of U.S. law and that the Constitution did not apply to them. Imagine that every now and then they made mistakes or acted on bad information and accidentally killed or terrorized innocent Americans, including women and children, most of the time with little or no repercussions or consequences. Imagine that they set up checkpoints on our soil and routinely searched and ransacked entire neighborhoods of homes. Imagine if Americans were fearful of these foreign troops and overwhelmingly thought America would be better off without their presence. Imagine if some Americans were so angry about them being in Texas that they actually joined together to fight them off in defense of our soil and sovereignty because leadership in government refused or were unable to do so. Imagine that those Americans were labeled terrorists or insurgents for their defensive actions and routinely killed or captured or tortured by the foreign troops on our land. Imagine that the occupiers' attitude was that if they just killed enough Americans, the resistance would stop. But instead, for every American killed, 10 more would take up arms against them, resulting in perpetual bloodshed. Imagine if most of the citizens of the foreign land also wanted these troops to return home. Imagine if they elected a leader who promised to bring them home and put an end to this horror. Imagine if that leader changed his mind once he took office. The reality is that our military presence on foreign soil is as offensive to the people that live there as armed Chinese troops would be if they were stationed in Texas.
shutting down military bases and ceasing to deal with other nations
with threats and violence is not isolationism. It is the opposite. Opening ourselves up to friendship, honest trade, and diplomacy is the foreign policy of peace and prosperity. It is the only foreign policy that will not bankrupt us in the short order, as our current actions most definitely will. I share the disappointment of the American people in the foreign policy rhetoric coming from the administration. The sad thing is, our foreign policy will change eventually, as Rome's did, when all budgetary and monetary tricks to fund it are exhausted.
Click here to learn how...
Pretty powerful.
I think the most... Well, it's incredibly powerful. And I think at the end, of course... When he says, we will eventually get there, just like Rome, when all available means of supporting this collapse run out. A failed state. American people, if they actually understood, like you guys do who watch this show, how much money we spend on war instead of actually supporting our country. Most people don't. Most people don't care. Most people are uninformed, they watch mainstream media, and they're spoon-fed a pack of lies. Led to think that we're just supporting our troops. That's it, we're supporting our troops when we... No, we're not. We're supporting a billionaire class and elites, a military-industrial complex that makes billions of dollars off of war and this war machine. Why are we currently in the longest war in American history, 19 years in Afghanistan? And no one even really pays attention to it anymore. And we've just expanded into Syria, build military bases in Syria, go into Iraq, Yemen, Somalia, build military bases. Just continue. It's going to come to an end soon.
So we got Joe Ruiz, Bernie amendment needs to pass, Mitch impersonation 1, Forrest 10.
My Mitch impression, you don't like it? Come on, man. Mitch McConnell.
I think it's good.
Hunger Games, our government at work.
Yep. Andrew Bird, thanks, Clayton, for all you do. You've changed my perception on what actually happens in America from hard R to anti-all politicians.
Wow. He was a hard R Republican and had his eyes opened to this information. And, like, look, I'm nothing special. It's just... I don't work for those networks, so I'm free and unfettered. I'm able to share with you the information that's out there, the stuff that you will not find other places. And so it's available.
Well, and that's a good thing. Like, you know how to do research, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, like they depend on mainstream media, but they keep all of this stuff so hidden and marginalize people that talk about it. You know, that's why you see a lot of YouTube channels and stuff getting taken down right now. And it's really hard to find like credible information on this stuff, but it is out there and you just have to know how to research it.
And that's why we want you to sign up for our newsletter, because not only just to get the great newsletter every day, but the reason is because if we get taken down, like if, you know, Google decides to take us down or something because we're anti-war, because we're telling you the truth, it's been happening to other progressive channels. That way you're on our list and we can send you an email and let you know, hey, we're here's our backup plan B over here. Come join us for the live show. So that way we have a way to communicate with you. So please sign up for our daily newsletter. That way, if something happens, the powers that be, the billionaire class decides to take us down on Facebook or other places, we have a way to connect with you. So just go to morninginvest.com on that.
Then Kristen Swenson wanted to say thank you, $20 super chat. This show is priceless and has kept me sane through all of the insanity over the past almost year since I started watching. The YouTube Thai guy accountant just wasn't cutting it for me.
Thank you so much, Kristen, the YouTube Thai guy.
And then
yesterday, if you don't know what we're talking about, yesterday we were saying on the show, like, you know, I was a journalist for 20 years and I wore a tie and a suit for 20 years and I don't do that anymore. I don't have to work in the mainstream media and I don't want to, and I don't wear a tie anymore. And you'll find, like, on YouTube, there's YouTubers who have no journalism background who are pretending to be journalists that put on a tie and a suit so that they can look more, you know, you can believe that they're somehow a journalist, and they're not. They're fake journalists, but that's the joke. So thank you, Kristen.
Well, and now you only have to shave once a day, right?
Right. Yeah, I shaved right before the show. Can you believe this? It's unbelievable.
Brandon Lee Rivera, war. What it is, it's good for. Absolutely nothing. P.S. Thank you, Clayton and David.
Huh. Say it again. Huh. Say it again.
And then Ms. Katie sent a dollar and retracted the message. So I'm not sure what that was, but those are all the super chats.
Thank you, everyone. TJ says, I got to run. Have a great weekend, everyone. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Arlene, Bonnie, Thomas, Betty Boop, Mark Phillips, Sherry Dixon, Janet Yeager. Good to see you, Nancy Dublin, Dubin.
Natasha Fralin is saying that she sent a super chat. Do you see it in there, Clayton? For some reason, when I refreshed
it. Oh, way at the... Yeah, I see it way at the top. Natasha Fralin says, we need a maximum wage limit. It's unfair. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier this week.
Yeah,
maximum wage.
It seems like it should be some kind of percentage. Like, I don't think the $18 million to a CEO. I just, the disparity between those two people, like, look at their lowest paid employee and their highest paid employee and the different life that they have. And the fact that that person is willing to take $18 million knowing that there's somebody that works in their company that is struggling, that is on food stamps, that is like raising three kids by themselves. Like, they don't even care.
Yeah. I mean, like, I love the whole show, like, undercover boss, you know, like the idea that, like, I mean, these guys are so out of whack proportion, like, or undercover billionaire. Isn't that the new show, Undercover Billionaire? And you get to go in your organization and see how the lowest among your employees are actually living. Such a ridiculous premise, that should be a requirement, by the way. Yeah, like, are you that out of touch that you need a national television show to come in and force you to go see how your own employees are living? And some of them, they're like, they were crying. They're like, I can't believe that, oh, man, she's suffering. I'm going to give that girl a raise. Yeah, imagine. Imagine how difficult it is for most people. Stunning, I know. Well, thank you, everyone, for subscribing to the channel, being a great part of our community here. We're working on a whole bunch of new things here on the channel. And so I'm really excited about some of the additional content we'll be putting out and new studio build out and all of that. So thank you for being a great part of our community here. Thank you to all of our new channel members. You can become a channel member very easily by going to morninginvest.com/join. You can support independent journalism that way. But if you can't afford it, you don't want to do that, there's other ways you can support us. Just share, you know, share this out on Facebook and Twitter to your friends. And also, one real big way you could do is just to smash the like button, because that really helps us on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, just smash that like button. It really helps push us out to more people who could learn this message.
And the harder you smash it, the more it helps.
Exactly. And the more Grover spins in a circle, like, I don't know if you know that, but when you smash that like button, for every time you smash the like button, Grover spins in the circle. Oh, someone just smashed it again. Oh, keep smashing it.
Teacher says every time the bell rings, Grover does a loop.
Right.
Such a cute guy.
Much love to all of you, everyone. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here real soon. Be kind and safe to other people. And be safe to yourself. Don't go doing something stupid like Tiger Woods did last week. Much love to all of you. We'll see you real soon.